I traveled down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were all so weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say. I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I hear him gently speak to me. I left the throne of glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hands safe in mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love hath mortal man than for a friend would die. These are the words he gently spoke to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I'll demand. But if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee. But if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee.
Chapter number 20, 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20. Here in the book of 2 Chronicles, I was reading the other day, about 2 or 3 days ago, and this thought just jumped out at my heart and grabbed hold of my heart, and I hope it gets hold of your heart like it does mine. I think that's one of the secrets of preaching, is that it's got to get a hold of the preacher before it get a hold of the people. And it sure did get a hold of me the other day when I was looking. Are y'all too cool in here? That thing sure makes a lot of racket like that. But we'll try to look on just for a minute. As long as you can hear, though, I don't care. Can you hear back there in the back? nod your head. I'm hearing it once and then again and then again. I'll be glad we get something up there. But just have to try to bear with us for a little while until we do. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, God's people were in a battle, as they usually were in the Old Testament. And the Lord put these stories, all these stories of these wars, these battles in the Old Testament, to show us how our life would be. If you're really trying to live for the Lord, you're going to be in battles. You're going to be in fights. You're going to be in wars. And that's why so many people don't really get sold out to God, because they don't want to fight no battles. They'd rather just kick back and let the devil have his way and not do nothing for the Lord. But if you're going to do right and you're going to make your life count for God, you're going to have a fight. You're going to have a fight. And sometimes that fight's going to be so hard that you don't think you can make it. Lots of times. And the Lord allows that to happen to us, so we'll depend on Him. And tonight, they were having a terrible battle here. The armies were coming up against them, the children of Ammon and Moab. They were the wicked, ungodly people of that day. Were coming up against the land of Israel. And they had a great king here called Jehoshaphat. And some of these fellows were good kings, and some of them was bad kings. And we'll not take time to read it all this evening. But look at chapter 20 and verse 3. The Bible said, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." And they needed a lot of help. And then look at verse number 9. "If when evil cometh upon us," Jehoshaphat said, "as the sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence. For thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." Y'all help me out now. I want everybody to hear this. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. He said, "We got problems, Lord." He said, "We got big problems. We're afflicted. We got enemy. The devil's coming at us from every side." And I don't know about you, but I felt like that ever since I've been saved. Ever since I've been saved, it seemed like the devil's come at me. And if it ain't one way, it's another way. As soon as you get this hole patched up, he'll sneak in another little hole over here somewhere. When you get that took care of, the devil will hit you from another side. He's always blindsiding you. Don't you ever think you got it all took care of to where the devil can't get in. You take heed if you think you stand. You're getting ready to fall. Now look here. Look here what he said. This is very interesting. This grabbed a hold of me the other day when I was reading it. He said, "And now," verse 10, "behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit." He said, "God, we had mercy on them people, and now they're turned on us and fighting against us. We spared them when we took over the land, and now they became our enemies." Here it is, verse 12. "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Now hold your place there just a second. I'm going to read some more scripture in just a minute. They're standing there and they're saying, "Oh God, we're standing before you, Lord. We have no might. Lord, they're bigger than we are. Lord, they're stronger than we are. Lord, they're meaner than we are. Lord, they got more money than we've got. They got heavier artillery. There is no way we can fight this. God, it's bigger than I can handle. God, it's more than I can stand." You know, if you told me today that you say, "Danny, I'm going to shoot you if you don't pick that speaker up." I can just do like this and grab a hold of it and pick it up. I can do that. But if you said, "I'm going to shoot you if you don't pick up that front pew there with all them guys on it," you just have to shoot, man. Or God would have to help me. See, there's some things you can do and there's some things you can't do. And I'm telling you, there are times in your Christian life when you can't do it. It just can't be done. God has allowed me to come to times in my Christian life where I said, "Lord, I can't do this. I mean, I want to. I'd be glad to if I could, but I can't.
I can't. I don't know. And they said, Lord, look at here what he said. Let's read verse 12 again. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. We can't do it, Lord, that cometh against us. Here it is. Neither know we what to do. Neither know we what to do. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, what to do when you don't know what to do. I was reading this the other day, and it just grabbed hold of my heart just as plain as day. What to do, turn down just a hair, Bill, what to do when you don't know what to do. Now, I know what to do when I know what to do, don't you? But boy, it's hard to know what to do when you don't know what to do. I don't mind doing what I ought to do when I know what I ought to do. I like it. I don't mind fighting if I know what I'm fighting and I know where it's at and I know I can whip it. But what is awful is when you can't see the enemy and they're bigger than you are and you don't even know what's going on, you don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you tonight what to do when you don't know what to do. The Bible said there in the second part of that verse, they said, neither know we what to do. Here's the answer. They said, but our eyes are upon thee. They said, Lord, we'll just take our little ones, we'll just take our little kids, and all we know to do is just look up. It's just like right there, say that Jesus there on that sign. Say that Jesus on that sign tonight is the presence of God. There's times in your Christian life when you think, God, my mother can't help me. My daddy can't help me. My husband can't. My wife can't. My kid can't. My preacher can't. God, I don't know what to do. Boy, it's during those times like that when all you can do is just look at him. Sometimes you don't even know what to pray. Sometimes you don't know how to pray. Let me ask you something. Have you ever got the point in your Christian life where you can't pray? Buddy, I have lots of time. If you ain't, you will. You get down, you think, I'm going to pray about this. And you think, Lord, and your mind goes a million miles away. Lord, and your mind goes a million miles away. You can't concentrate, and the devil's in your thoughts. It feels like something just grinding at your head. It's an awful shape to get in when you try to pray and can't pray. When you want to pray and you can't pray. When you try to find God and you can't find God. When you want to feel God and you can't feel God. When you want your prayers answered and don't even know what you need to pray for. It's hard to know what to do when you don't know what to do. But I got some news for you tonight. When the time comes you don't know what to do, just look at Him. Just look at Him. Just say, my eyes are on you, Lord. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. But I'm just going to sit here and look at you until you give me some help from on high. I don't know no big words to cry out. I don't know any prayers that I can pray. But God, I know one thing. My help cometh from the hills. From whence come there where God is. I tell you what, brother, I've been saved long enough to know this. When you're so low, you have to look up to see the bottom. And you can't feel God. And you can't get your prayers through. And you don't even know where you're in God's will or not. About that time, if you'll just keep looking up, somehow, some way, I'll move and God will come and He'll help you out. What to do when you don't know what to do? Let me show you what the Lord did here. I don't have no outline or nothing, but I got a couple of illustrations here. Let me show you what the Lord showed me as I was reading. Look at verse number 14. When they didn't know what to do, God called a preacher to tell them what to do. Amen? Some of you people sitting here tonight, I'll guarantee you there's married couples sitting in here tonight. Your home is on the rocks. The only reason you're together here tonight is because of your kids. You've been fighting like cats and dogs. Maybe one of you's already threatened to go to sue for divorce or whatever. I want to tell you, so you just say, well, preacher, I know it ain't right for us to separate. I know it ain't right to live. What? I just don't know what to do. Well, I'm telling you what to do when you don't know what to do. God called a preacher, and God called his preacher here named Jehaziel, man. Ain't you glad that ain't my name, Brother Jehaziel, or something like that? And the Lord called him here in the Bible, said in verse 14, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, listen, I don't care what your problem is, how bad it may seem, if you'll keep just looking at the Lord, it won't be long till He'll lay it on some man of God's heart to preach just exactly what you need to hear. Amen? Sure He will. And He said this, And he said, the Spirit of God come on this old boy. And he said in verse 15, he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, amen, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Hallelujah. He said, hey, buddy. He said, it was God that brought you out of Egypt. It was God that took care of you every day of your life. It's God that feeds you every day. It's God that lets your lungs breathe air. It's God that lets your mind think. And he said, you got a big crowd against you, but don't you worry. The battle is God's. The battle is the Lord and not yours. Isn't it funny how we depend on the Lord for things like breath and health and strength, but we can't depend on Him to fight our daily battles? Oh Lord, what am I going to do? 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 I can't pay my bills. I can't do this. Lord, I'm sick. I don't know. What am I going to do? Look here. He said, the battle is the Lord's. He said, you just go on down there and fight, boys. He said, you watch God take care of you. He said, all you got to do is stand. If you'll just stand, God will take care of you. Let me show you what else He told him. I don't have time to get into all of it this evening, but look here what else he said. He said in verse 17, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And the king bowed his head to the ground, brother, and he fell upon their face, worshiping the Lord. And notice what he told them in verse 20. "And they rose up in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And he said, now listen, boys. He said, the way out of this mess is just believe what that preacher said. He said, if you'll believe that prophet, that man of God, he said, you'll prosper. God will bless you. You know what gets people in trouble? What gets people in trouble is when God, through his word, says one thing and you try to solve your problem some other way. I got news for you. You ain't going to solve your problems no other way except the way God said to in this book right here. You say, we got marriage problems, preacher. I'll tell you how not to solve it. A vacation to the beach. That will not solve your problem. You say, or vacation anywhere, not just beach, Hawaii. You say, well, if we'll just take a trip somewhere and that'll solve our problem. No, it won't. You'll fight like cats and dogs the whole way there and the whole way back and hate each other for spending all that money when you get back. Well, I see some people going, yep, yep, yep. See, you've done tried that route. You've done been down that road, ain't you? You say, well, my wife's mad at me. I'll go buy her something. That ain't going to solve no problem. Get her off your back a little while. Listen, you say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I've been fussing at him, so I'm going to be good to him a little while. No, no, that ain't the way. You know what God said? Believe the prophets, so shall you prosper. Listen, God's got an order in this book, and there ain't no family going to be right. There ain't no church going to be right. There ain't no home going to be right until they're willing to just do what the book says. Amen? Believe the prophets. That's the only way it's going to work. Now, look here. Look here how they got their strength. Look here. Young people, you'll know why I make you sing all the time. Verse 22. Verse 22. "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." He smitted them boys, man. I'm telling you what, buddy. You know what God did? You know what God did? Look here. Here's the children of Israel, all right? Here's the children of Israel. They're out here ready to fight. All right, we're ready to fight. Lord, we can't fight. They're bigger than we are. Have you seen them guys out there? It would be just like, it'd be like me fighting every man in his church by myself. I couldn't do it. I said, Lord, I can't do it. But I'll tell you one thing, Lord. I'm going to get me a gun. I'm going to get me a cannon. I'm going to get me a 12-gauge shotgun. And I'm going to do my very best. And the Lord said, just cool it, man. You just honor me and I'll fight your battle. So what I do is I get my songbook and I come in here and I sing, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love." And the Lord looks down and said, "Now that's what I want you to be doing right there. That's what I want you to do." And he goes out here and smitten these dudes, man. I mean, he just lays it to them. He just goes up to there and goes, bah, 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 bah. And these armies coming out there, "We're going to get that little guy. We're going to get that preacher. We're going to get that crowd." And all of a sudden, oh, oh, oh. the Lord starts smiting them all over the place. You know what? If they'll just stay in there, God said, you just stay in there and sing. You just keep singing. You just keep praising. I'll fight your battles. Listen, we don't have to worry about that world. People say, oh, Lord, what are we going to do? The Antichrist government's coming and all of that. How are we going to fight them? Listen, man, they ain't but 1,000 of us. And there's 20 million people around up and down this part of the country. We can't fight them. I'll tell you what we can do. We can get in here and sing, there is a God. We can get in here and sing, victory in Jesus and through the lowest valley. And he'll do it again. And God himself will fight our battles out there. Hadn't the Lord always fought our battles here at this church? Every time somebody says, Brother Danny, I'd do this. I'd call the cops. I'd do this. You know what I always do? I always just, and we've had some weird people come through here. Some of you have just come in the last few years. You should have been here 10 years ago. The devil's always made sure he sent weirdos in here. I mean, 15 years ago, we've had some kooks, man. I'm telling you what. Do you know what? You know what? God's never let me lift my finger against one of them. God's never let me try to take action. He never will let me. He always says, you just sing and preach and do your job, and I'll take care of them. And it always takes place. It always happens. Hey, when you don't know what to do, just go to church and get up in the choir and take your songbook up and rear your head back like nothing's wrong. And just let her rip, brother, and let God fight your battles. Don't sit down there and pout and not sing in the choir. Get up here and pout behind you, smile, and sing anyway. That's what I'm doing. I'm pouting right now. I'm crying on the inside, but I'm shouting on the outside. Amen. You know why? Because God will fight my battles. He always has. He always has. I don't believe I'd get in my way if I was you. The Lord will smit you. Amen. He did. He will. Look here what else he said. Verse number 29. Bible said, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. My soul. That word got out. You better leave that crowd alone. God's in, on their side. You better watch out for them people. God will smite you. if you mess with them, it really smite. But I like this smitten, man. I like some old guys been smitten. I'll tell you what, buddy. You know what God did? God smote their enemies. And he took care of them. And the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. The Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. The Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. That's why the Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? All you got to do is do right. God will fight for you. Now, if you don't do right, God will let your enemy whip you. That's his way of chastising you. Some of you's in the mess you're in right now, not because you're being persecuted for doing right, but because God's letting you be punished for doing wrong. Now, that's something you got to get straight with him. What to do when you don't know what to do? We see in the Bible lots and lots of places. Over there in Mark chapter 2, you don't have to turn to it. They brought this guy over there, the Bible says. They brought this guy over there who had the palsy. And when a man had the palsy in the Bible, he couldn't move his limbs. He just lay in there like paralyzed. And he's all bent up like that. And they had him on four sheets. And these guys had, four of them, had these sheet corners here. And they took him to Jesus. And they probably took him to doctors, tried to do everything they could to help him, but nothing would do any good. When they didn't know what to do, they said, we'll just take him to Jesus. They got to the point where there was nothing else that would work. That's the point you've got to get to. You've got to get to the point where you say, nothing can help me but Jesus. Listen, you young people, hear me this evening. Nothing can be what you need to be in your life except Jesus. No girlfriend, no boyfriend, no car, no job, no success. No, you say, well, I want to be the star basketball player or something like that. Boy, I'll be happy on it. Nothing will give you the satisfaction you got to have except the right relationship with Jesus. Nothing will work except Jesus. And boy, they brought him to Jesus that day, and they brought him up there, and they couldn't get him in. That crowd was standing around outside. They said, you'll never get that man in there. This place is packed full. They ain't going to let nobody else in. We've done checked. You've got to have a reservation to get in here. And they said, well, I'll tell you one thing. We don't know what to do with this guy. We can't take him back. We're going to get him to Jesus one way or another. Somebody went over and got a ladder. They laid it up on the side of the house and started climbing up through there, dragging that fellow up the side of the house. They could hear Jesus down there in the middle. middle. And boy, about that time the tiles started tearing up on the roof. Them guys about swallowed their cigars. And the deacons got upset because they was tearing up the house of God. And boy, that old boy come floating down through there like an angel out of heaven, right down in front of Jesus. And the Lord reached down and met his need. When nothing else worked, they brought him to God. And nothing else will do. Just look to him. There's a Bible. There's a woman in the Bible over there called a Syrophoenician lady. We call her that. She was a Greek. She wasn't a Jew. She came to the Lord needing help. And then there's a lady in the Bible said that had a bloody flux, a blood problem. She couldn't be healed. And the Bible said that she spent all her money on physicians. She went to every doctor she could think of. And not instead of getting better, she got worse. And every time she'd go to a doctor, she'd think, oh boy, here's my test results. Maybe it'll be better. And it was worse. And the Bible said when she had spent all, she didn't know what to do. About that time, somebody said, did you know Jesus is coming through town? And she said, buddy, I've been to every doctor I can think of. I've tried everything I know to try. I've been to all the seminars. I've read all the books. I've been to Dr. So-and-so and took his advice. I've sat down and let people counsel me. Well, we've been to marriage counselors. We've done this. We've done that. We've done the other. What am I going to do? Somebody said, I'll tell you, you've got one hope. You've got one hope. Get it to Jesus Christ. Get it to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what your need is. I know one thing. The Lord would have laid this message on my heart. If there wasn't some people in here that really did have a tremendous need, and you are sitting here tonight, you absolutely don't know what you're going to do. You say, preacher, I'm just living from one day to the next. I don't know what I'm going to do. Preacher, I don't know what to do. Preacher, I don't know what to do. Have you seen what the Bible said this woman done? Bible said she pressed through the crowd and she went through that crowd of people and she thought, if I can just get to him, I know it'll be all right. And I'm telling you tonight, the same is true for us. The same is true for you. The same is true for you teenagers. If you can just get to him, everything will be all right. You say, preacher, I'm so burdened. I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about my daddy. I'm worried about my mama. I'm worried about my wife. I'm worried about my husband. If you can just get it to Jesus and touch God, everything will be all right. That's what to do when you don't know what to do. Oh, yonder in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, they was out there one day, and Moses led 1.5 million people around about out of Egypt. And it went pretty good there for a while, and they got right out of town, and they said, woo, praise God, we're free. We're free now. Free at last. Amen. That's what they said. And they come out of Egypt there, and boy, they begin to jump up and down and say, hallelujah, praise God. Everything's all right. Everything's wonderful. And about that time, somebody said, uh-oh. And there was the Red Sea in front of them. And they said, now what? We ain't got no boat. We don't have nothing to make no ship out of. Moses standing there looking at that water, thinking, oh boy, I don't know what we're going to do. About that time somebody said, look! And they turn around and look, and off in the distance you could see smoke coming up like dust, and it was Pharaoh's armies and chariots coming after them. They said, we're going to be slaughtered in the desert. What are we going to do now? We was doing pretty good when we come up against here. Oh, wasn't nothing but mountains on this side. Wasn't nothing but sea on this side. Right there's where a lot of churches mess up. And they say, all right, preacher, look at the mess you've got us in now. Now what are we going to do? Hey, we'll just go back here and apologize to Pharaoh and go back home with him before he kills us. We're checking out of here. You know, a lot of people want to stand with you when the victory's being won and the bills are being paid and people being saved. But when the church is going through a hard time and the church is going through a battle, that's when they hit the road. Did you know I've noticed that there's some people that don't ever show up till we have camp meeting, youth rally, and they're right here on the front row with bells on, ready to shout the victory. But boy, when they're out here trying to put up that old nasty steel and they're out here supposedly dusting them flares off and up here on Saturday evening supposedly cleaning the piano off. I appreciate you done good. But listen, when they're out here and the work's to be done and the parking lot's all messed up and the school's being built, you can't find them. You know why? Because they just want to ride in when everything's fine. They're like Lone Ranger and Tonto. When Lone Ranger and Tonto is riding out in the desert, and they're doing pretty good there for a little while, and all of a sudden 10,000 Indians come up in front of them. They stop and look back, and 10,000 Indians come up behind them. They start to go this way, and 10,000 Indians come up. They look this way, 10,000 Indians come up that way. Lone Ranger said, "What are we going to do now, Tonto?" Tonto said, "What do you mean we, white man?" "I was an Indian. We ain't going to do nothing." "Now, I want to tell you something, buddy. That's the way they did Moses. Moses, you got us out here in this mess. We're head over heels in debt. There's a Red Sea in front of us. Here comes Pharaoh. They're going to sue us. They're going to put us in jail. We're in a mess. What are we going to do?" And Moses said, "Oh boy, I don't know. I didn't go to seminary long enough to find out what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. We can't swim across there. It'll never work. We can't do it. We'll never make it." And about that time, Moses done what you're supposed to do when you don't know what to do. He just looked to the Lord and said, "All right, Lord, I ain't got no hope. What am I going to do?" And the Lord said, "What's that in your hand?" He said, "That's my rod." He said, "You take that rod and stretch it out." And boy, Moses took that rod and stretched it out over that sea. He said, "You know what to do when you don't know what to do? Let your eyes be upon Him." Some of you people here tonight, instead of getting a refresher course on being encouraged in your self-esteem, that man, that water began to go up, and the Bible said a strong east wind, and Moses said, "Ha, ha, ha. Woo, what do you think about that, kids? Let's go! Let's go!" And they said, "You think it's going to work?" The water stood up on both sides, a great big wall. I don't know how deep it was, but son, it was a whole lot deeper than that right there, big wall of water. And Moses said, "I'm going down in there." And he walked down on dry ground. The Lord dried it up, no mud, nothing. And he dried up down through there, and he said, "Let's go." First thing you know, here come a deacon or two. Next thing you know, here come some of the young preachers. And they said, "Woo, we're making it, we're making it. Man, look at this. Wall of water on both sides. All the children of Israel came down through there shouting. I can see them mamas and bringing little boys and little girls with their hands like this. Come on, come on, honey. Look, 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 mommy, a shark. Come on, son, come on." I mean, it's like SeaWorld, man. You can look in there and see all them Shamu and no telling what all was up there. And buddy, I'll tell you what, they walked through on dry ground. Listen, there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. He's the same God today as if. Take heart, child of God. Take heart, child of God. You may be sitting here tonight. You say, "Well, preacher, listen, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know how it is at my house. You don't know what I'm living in." Listen, if God can open up that sea, and if God can touch that woman, God can help you through what you're going through. Sure He can. Guess what? They got all the way over here on the other side, came back out, and God put a pillar of fire behind them. Right behind them. And every time Pharaoh would look at it, it'd be like a big burning fire right between him and them. And they got over there, and Pharaoh said, "Well, if they can do it, we can do it. I ain't never seen nothing like this. But come on, boys, let's go." Here come all Pharaoh's chariots down through there. They're doing pretty good. But what they don't realize is that God's people can go somewhere that the devil's people can't go. God's people can do some things the devil's people can't do. And our children of Israel peeped through that fire, and they said, "Oh, Lord, here they come. Now, how come the Lord let them do that? It probably wasn't even a miracle. Just some weird freak act of nature or something. Maybe a continental shift, or Atlantis is going to sink down here or something. And that's where I'll come from. What are we going to do now? They're coming after us." And the Lord said, "Just take it easy. The very route that God used as deliverance for His people turned out to be the torture pit, man, for Pharaoh and his army." Don't pay no attention to the movie. Pharaoh was right there with them. In the movie, you know, Pharaoh's back at the house holding little baby Pharaoh and getting blessed out by his wife and all that. He's in there, man. He's in the chariot in the Bible, according to the book of Psalms. And the Lord says, and holds his breath, and the water goes and drowns every one of them. And the children of Israel said, "Well, that ought to be a lesson to us. What to do when you don't know what to do? Just put your eyes on Him." It might be, and I'll tell you this, did you know you can get to the point in your Christian life sometime when you can't even pray? You can be in the hospital hurting bad enough, you can't even concentrate, shot full of drugs. You can be hurt so bad. My heart goes out to you folks. I see people sitting all over this church tonight. His mate just walked off and left you. I'm telling you, man, my heart goes out to you tonight. My heart goes out to you. Nobody knows the pain that you folks here that's had an experience like that. Sure, you'll have somebody come along and say, oh, just don't worry about it. Give up. That's a whole lot easier said than done when it's you going through that. Death would be a welcome option to going through the pain of separation and divorce and things like that. I see people around here nodding your head. You know what I'm talking about. I tell you what you can do. When it's that bad, you think, Lord, I can't even pray. I don't know what to do. Lord, if I do this, I mess up. If I do this, I mess up. Lord, if I do that, it's wrong. If I do that, it's wrong. I don't know what to do. Let's let your eyes just look at it. My dog, I used to have, she was real, real sick. She's got some kind of toxic poison in her. My bulldog I used to have. I remember going out and looking at her laying there in the carport. She couldn't bark, couldn't even drop, but she just looked at me. Like, ain't there something you can do for me? Ain't there some way you can help me? And that's why you need to look to the Lord, friend. Just look at Him. Because there are times when you don't even know what to pray. But our eyes are upon Thee. I believe God looked down when Jehoshaphat made that statement. See, Jehoshaphat said, Lord, they're bigger than we are, they're stronger than we are. He didn't put on a fake spiritual act. Now listen, there ain't no use acting, people. It ain't no use acting. Y'all know me. You've known me a long time. And y'all can read me like a book. And y'all can you too. There ain't no use acting. There's no use in coming in here saying, glory to God, hallelujah, woo! You know, putting on a big front. You know what Jehoshaphat did? He said, Lord, they're bigger than we are. They're stronger than we are. I can't do it, Lord. But my eyes are upon Thee. And the Lord reached down and goes, and smit them boys, buddy. Smitted them right in a hole. Smit their heads off. You know why? Because his eyes was upon the Lord. What to do when you don't know what to do? Just look to the Lord. I tell you what you don't need to do, go out and get drunk. I tell you what you don't need to do, go out for a wild time Friday night with your friends. I tell you what you don't need to do is go to a country music line dance party somewhere at a club. Lord, have mercy, you think you got problems now. You really going to get them. I tell you what you don't need to do is go to the movies Friday night. What you need to do is put your eyes on Him. Your help. And it won't be long. See, if you'll look to the Lord will start fighting for you. He'll start fighting for you. You say, I can't do it myself, preacher. Yeah, that's right. But He'll fight for you if you'll trust in Him. Let's stand and pray. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. There's some people here tonight who just don't know what you're going to do. You don't know what to do. You're in such a mess, you just say, I don't know what I'm going to do, preacher. Well, I'll tell you tonight what to do when you don't know what to do. Put your eyes on Him. You say, well, I'll just get a new car. No, that ain't going to do it. So I'll get me a new girlfriend. Buy me a new house. That ain't going to do it. That ain't going to solve the problem in your heart. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. A vacation ain't going to do it. Lord have mercy, man. You win the sweepstakes and it ain't going to solve your problem. God is going to have to do it. God's going to have to do it. I could give you $1 million tonight and it still wouldn't fix what's wrong with you folks. $1 million. You say, if we fuss about money, I got our problem bill. $10 million wouldn't make you happy. You got to look to Him. You got to look to Him. This altar is filling up this evening. What to do when you don't know what to do? Keep your eyes on Jesus. The Lord puts me in places like that every few years where I can't do nothing but just look to Him. The battle is the Lord's. Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts tonight. Lord, we need You. Oh God, help us tonight, Lord. Lord, we don't know what to do always, but our eyes are upon Thee. That's all we can say tonight, Lord. Our eyes are upon Thee. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's